Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
All right, tonight at Haymarket Park, this is really, really cool. Nebraska opens up against Illinois. It's a big start to the conference season. Pretty important weekend for Will Bolt and Nebraska. It also is a ceremony tonight. It is three individuals that are being honored, three individuals that have their fingerprints all over Nebraska baseball. Shane Comine, Alex Gordon, and our guest, Darren Erstad. Good morning. How are you?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. First of all, I appreciate you joining us because I know you're a busy man. But congratulations. This is, I know, you know, you're somewhat stoic, but this is a really, really cool honor for all three of you, and especially for the Nebraska baseball fans that have followed the program for a long time.
No, I appreciate it. It does mean a lot. It also means I'm getting old, which sucks, but I'm gonna enjoy the day, and yeah, you're right. I'm not big on this kind of thing, but it's definitely humbling and super cool to be going in and doing this with Alex and Shane.
So people do know this. I mean, you have won a national championship. You were the number one pick. You've won a World Series. You've won Gold Gloves. You've had a lot of success in your professional career. And so seeing 17, it should be out on, you know, like out on the left field fence. They just construct one at where Buck Belcher was, but it's at Haymarket Park where you've also had a long career as the head coach. When they told you that they were retiring 17, what was your reaction?
You know, it's just kind of like all those things, like, you know, getting your first call to the big leagues or winning a national title, a World Series, those kind of things. It doesn't seem real. Like, it's just my mind doesn't work that way. Like, those type of things never really even cross my mind when you're just out there having fun and doing what you love. I mean, it just, again, it's one of those things that's super cool to have, but then it just reminds you, we're all just have our heads down in life and you sometimes forget to lift up and enjoy it, right? And look around and you think about it now and you're like, holy cow, you're getting older. And you know, it's just kind of one of those moments where it's like, it's super cool and very proud and honored to have it. But at the same time, it's like, man, life goes fast.
Yeah.
Well, Darren, I know a lot of the conversations we've had have been, you know, more about the current baseball team, your time as the skipper, or I've had conversations even about the national championship football team. But, you know, now in the last couple months, a lot of press releases about, you know, your time. Sharpie brings up Buck Belcher and just your time with the baseball program and those memories with those guys. Has this kind of allowed you to reflect a little bit more on the playing days? And what do you kind of take away the most from that time, you know, playing baseball for the team?
Honestly, Nick, it's not that big of a, like, dust off the yearbook moment, because we still have from that group, we still have a huge group text and we still talk all the time. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how close that group is. And, you know, we don't even really talk about individual stuff. You just talk about those memories. And, you know, when I was coaching, it was the same thing. You try and recruit kids and say, look, this is what it's all about. 20, 30 years from now, you're going to be with this group and just get the right guys together, because you're going to have those memories. And that's what we have. Like, that's the stuff I remember more than any individual playing stuff. But as far as the group, like, we were super talented. Like, if you look back in Nebraska baseball, there's been a lot of really good players. So I feel honored to be part, you know, to be having your number retired. It's crazy. But then you look ahead and you look at Shane and what they did for the program. And then Alex takes it another level. But when Shane was there, they put Nebraska baseball on the map. You know, there was a lot of great players through the years, but what they did to get to the College World Series, I don't think people understand how hard that is to do. And for them to go three times in a short span like that, it's just nothing short of remarkable.
Hey, can you share the story of, here's a Jamestown kid, you're playing with the Jamestown Eagles in Legion Bowl. You didn't give my dad the time of the day when him and Terry Tripp and Larry Chase tried to sign you after they Mets drafted you, which I still hold against you. But you have Steve Gillespie and John Sanders are recruiting you. How did you end up at Nebraska and not playing? You could have played in the USHL. You could have played hockey. How did you end up at Nebraska?
Well, it's all Steve Gillespie. I mean, at the time, he was an assistant coach at Nebraska, obviously. And then in the summer, he came up and coached our Legion program. How that happened, I have no idea. He did it for a year. And he gave my name to John. And then Steve actually moved on. And I've talked to Steve over all the years about this. He's still, I'm sure he's still coaching somewhere. Or he's in the front office somewhere in college. But, yeah, I mean, just he gave my name to John, and John got in touch with us and came down here on a recruiting trip. And it really didn't get much more deep than that. And that's how the connection started. And John never saw me play. I mean, we brought a video or a VHS tape down and showed a couple highlights of it, and they made an offer. And I think I went to on a visit in Omaha as well. After that, they had heard that Nebraska was recruiting me, and I didn't care for that visit very much. I love Jim Henry. He was awesome. I love the guy, but it just was not the right fit for me at the time, and picked Nebraska. And boy, am I glad I picked Nebraska. Nothing against the Mets. I mean, that would have been great. I was ready to sign. Blame it on my mom, and I'm sure she's listening right now because they're in town. But blame it on her, because I was ready to buy my Mazda RX-7 sports car with that $50,000 signing bonus the Mets were going to give me. She said she just kicked me in the butt and said, "You're going to college, kid." And that's how it ended up.
Because you've coached there at Haymarket, but you played at one of the more unique venues too, in Buck Belzer. When you kind of look at the facilities of Nebraska baseball and the evolution of Nebraska baseball too.
Oh boy,
it's the Buck. Like, how special in all the different places you've played at, you know, from the collegiate days to professional, does the Buck, is it just kind of like that crotchety but just charming little place that you always have, you know, fond memories of?
Here you go back to making me feel old.
Hey, I played in a state baseball tournament game there too, so, you know, I'm right there with you.
The Buck, if anybody's played at the Buck or watched a game at the Buck, you know how special it is. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, from playing left field there with no warning track. They had to put a warning track in because, you know, I think they were hosting regionals, right? So you had to have a warning track. But the cars would come around Avery Avenue behind the fence when it was raining, and the water would kick up from the curb onto the left field, and you had to wear, like, Ziploc bags over your socks inside your shoes because it was so, I mean, the water was that deep out there. Or you can remember, I'll never forget the Buck, and they said one game, sitting on the left field, and they go, "Today's attendance, 5. There are 5 people at the game. Bob Steinkamp was one of them for sure.
Yes.
And they were probably counting. Chris Anderson was probably another one that was the SID, was probably the other one, and the announcer. And I mean, there was nobody there. And now, I mean, we get mad if we don't have 5,000 at Haymarket. Yep. So to see the transformation, and again, that's Shane and Alex and that crew, they changed the name of the game and what the expectations are, which is fantastic. Or now people, where the weight room is, like, now I know they're building the whole new fancy place, but we're at North Stadium where the weight room is. That used to be the Schulte Fieldhouse. And we had 2 batting cages in there. And, I mean, the batting cages, the nets had holes all over. We would shoot balls through the nets. They'd go through the windows. They would break windows and go out onto the track. And it was no big deal. You just go do it. Or if softball team was below, they're below East Stadium and the Mushroom Garden down there. And, yeah. I mean, you go down there to run. And, I mean, I don't think you would pass health standards now. It was nasty down there. But, to see that transformation, one, I'm old, getting older, and you have those stories, and two, just, I mean, they could have not have built a more beautiful place to play baseball and watch baseball and the whole setting at Haymarket. Just awesome.
And Buck Belzer, and in your last year there, I mean, that was a team full of characters from Alvy Shepard all the way to Cliff Durham. That was a heck of a team. We could spend hours talking about Alvy Shepard stories. But now, as you are honored tonight with Alex and Shane, and ahead of a big series in the Big Ten, you haven't been in the dugout since 19. Now you're coaching your son's team, and I know how aggressive you are, and you are competitive, and how good your son is. Is there anything? Is there an element of your time at Nebraska as the head coach that from 19 to now that you do miss?
Well, I miss it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's trade-offs in life. I mean, I stopped coaching to be around our kids more. And I missed the student-athletes unbelievably. I mean, mm-hmm. I missed that strategy in the dugout. But as anybody that's, you know, worked in the college realm or the professional realm as a coach, I mean, if you want to be good at your job, I mean, it's nasty. It is. I mean, it is super hard to do both. You know, be a good parent and also be a great coach and, you know, be a mentor for the kids. So, yeah, I miss all that stuff. I miss those connections. I miss the strategy, getting ready for games, all that stuff, the dugout stuff, the locker room stuff. That's just, it's so special, and that's why those memories are so great from being, you know, from your teammates and also, you know, being a coach. But, yeah, like I said, it's crazy. Like, I miss that stuff, but you wouldn't believe how many emails or letters I got from coaches across the country saying how jealous they were that I was able to do what I did and be able to see the kids and how much people have missed it. We went to Yankee Stadium and had a first base coach come up and give me a hug and say, I'm so jealous. I've missed my son, you know, watching him play. And so those kind of stories kind of even it out a little bit. And I know a lot of people were just unfortunate to be able to make that decision. But, yeah, I miss the coaching stuff so much. I just love it.
I know how much that meant to you. And I remember, I'll never forget it, being out there at State College on a dreary, dank Saturday morning. You guys wrap up the regular season Big Ten title. You come out of the coach's locker room running into the crowd of guys. And what was a very class move on your guys' part, because they had senior day, and they're doing all of those things afterwards after you beat them and won the Big Ten. So you guys celebrate in the locker room. And, you know, you were letting loose then. And, you know, we've had this discussion before, too, on when it was time for you to make that transition of, you know, spending more time with your kids and being able to have more of that in your life. But also, how important was it to try to leave this program in as good a shape as possible? Because that was still a pretty damn good roster that you left.
Oh, well, there's no chance I was leaving on my own accord with not having it like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, that was the whole idea. And, you know, I feel like with the coaching staff, I was very upfront about, you know, my intentions. And I probably was a little bit earlier than I was anticipating doing it, but it just, you know, you just have a feeling and it just kind of happens. And, you know, that's, you know, I was asked by Coach Osborne to come in and get things straightened back out. I mean, it was obviously in a very good spot for a long time and then got a little sideways, but you know, we never ever got exactly back where we need to be. But you know, I felt, you know, seeing the next year and seeing a lot of those guys, and you know, they're running Arkansas, and holy cow, was that fun to watch. And you know, it just you know, it made you feel proud that, you know, you're able to kind of put it in a good position. But yeah, that was a very, very big part of it. And you know, again, I know we had some success. I'm still mad at myself that we didn't have more success, especially in regionals. I just pound my head against the wall that we didn't push better buttons and play better in certain situations. But, you know, hey, so is life. You got to move on.
You still have the connection with the Angels, and I know you were down in spring training. Not the players' reaction, but what would be your reaction if you were playing nowadays with the pitch clock and the new shift rules?
Oh, I you know, we were in the meetings, and it was actually an outfielder meeting we were in, and we're breaking down all this stuff and talking about it, and we got the minor league kids in there, minor league coaches, major league guys, and Trout finally just says, he goes, guys, it's baseball. 30 days from now, he goes, we're not even be talking about this. It's what we do. We adjust, and that's what's going to happen. The minor league guys are like, it's not that big a deal. It just, that's the beauty of baseball. The game just, you know, it doesn't matter what rules you give the game of baseball. You just figure it out, and that's what you do. And like, they're talking about the bases being that big of a difference. You know, it's like, it's not that big a difference. We were there literally the first, I thought I was at college practice the first couple days, because they were doing first and third. Mm-hmm. Like, we would do first and third place because of the third time disengaging off the rubber, that if you don't get an out, it's a balk.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was crazy. Like, I was like, timeout. And I said in the meeting, I said, They're not doing that play if Mike Trout's at the plate, are they?
Yeah.
No. They're doing that play with two strikes and two outs with a really crappy hitter at the plate that they don't trust to, you know, get the out. Get the guy at home plate. Strike him out. Don't worry about it. You know, that play. At least that's what we went to in college. So here's the – so Ray Montgomery, the bench coach, says, you're exactly right, Darren. He goes, but analytics-wise, we want that guy leading off the next inning. So we're going to get the out on the bases, which it's just totally different than college, right? Like, you're trying to get out of the inning. No, they're trying to maximize their 27 outs. So it's just, like, wow. But it was super fun. But they'll figure it out. That's the beauty, like I said, of the game of baseball.
I'm assuming you had a chance to take in the World Baseball Classic, and for someone who's just so passionate about the game itself, whether we're talking the pro game or the college game, or you know, even at the high school and little league level, how big do you think that was this year for the sport itself and sort of evolving and continuing to grow popularity?
I mean, it was ginormous, especially when you think about that final game, right? The Japanese following and how many millions of people just love the game and watch that game. And I mean, the freakazoid Shohei, I mean, holy cow. I mean, you think about what you're watching, and it was just, I just sat back and was in awe of the talent and the passion in Venezuela and Puerto Rico and Dominican. Like, you just look at those teams that, like, their fans are just fantastic. You know, the catch at the wall and Rob's a homer and he's signing autographs, the dude from Tampa Bay. I mean, you can't make that up. I mean, that passion is awesome. And it was even better, you know, because my folks are in town for this weekend, and my dad was sitting there next to me watching it, and, you know, I didn't tell him that, but, you know, he's listening too. That was pretty special to get to watch all that with my parents. Those are just those memories that you can't get back, and it was pretty special.
One of your former teammates wants some intel. They want to know, are you the new hitting coach for the Lincoln Sox 13s?
Well, I fired myself as a Husker hitting coach, so I don't think that they want my – I just sit in my car. I'm good sitting down the left field line or right field line, staying out of the way.
There is the element, because it's – you got Bill Vosick and you got Jeff Lisey, and you have coached your son. That, do you have any advice for other parents out there that are coaching their kids that are now, you know, they're 11, 12, 13, they're getting more heavy into travel ball?
Yeah, just pump the brakes and just enjoy the game. You know, everybody's just in a rat race to beat the next kid of, you know, my kid's more developed than this kid, or I'm going to get him this lesson, or he's going to play on this travel team. It's like, you know what, just go out there and enjoy the game. And it have fun. And everybody's so worried about exit velocity and, you know, just hit line drives and go out there and run the bases hard and enjoy being at the field. And because the one thing that's hard to explain to people is if you don't love the game, you're not going anywhere in the game. It's just as you get older and the commitment you need in college, the commitment you need in pro ball, like, it just, you don't understand it. You can talk about it, but until you get there, the travel, getting up, college baseball, Nick, you know this, when you get home at 2 o'clock in the morning, what do the kids have to do? They got to go to school the next morning. It's like, you wake up, you're like, you'll find out if you enjoy it, really love the game or not. And it's the same way in pro ball. And so I just, you know what, just go out and have fun. When you're out there, like, don't take it so seriously. Go find, if you love the game, great, keep playing. If you don't love the game, go find something you love, because if you don't love it, it's just not going to work out, and you're not going to enjoy it. You're wasting time.
Hey, fantastic, man. I appreciate the conversation. Again, congratulations to you, the rest of the family, and I'm glad your folks are going to be there to see it as well. And we always appreciate the time, and it's always great seeing you.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Darren Erstad, who will be one of the three that will have their number retired tonight in Lincoln. Number 17.
You could talk hours and hours with that guy about baseball.
Yeah. As he gets further away from his career, I hear more people go, oh, yeah, I saw him play at Buck Belcher. I'm like, no, you didn't. Okay. Who is Jonas Armenta?
Yeah. Do you know Jed Dalton is?
Yeah.
You know what he did with that that car drive? I love that story behind how they had no warning track. And, I mean, in left field, all the water coming up from the curb and stuff like that. It's just one of the most dumpy yet most charming little ballparks there.
So Eddie Anderson, who was a slight little center fielder from Illinois, he would complain that during their regular season, because there wasn't the Hawks Championship Center. That's where Nebraska football in the fall practiced, was right on the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
They would practice in the outfield. And he said he would pick up at least during the season three mouthpieces that were embedded in the ground.
Hey, that ties back everything together.
Yeah. Buck Belcher was such a dump.
No,
was such a dump. It's amazing that Nebraska baseball got to the cusp of the College World Series out of that ballpark, and then finally in the last year of that ballpark got to the College World Series.
That's what I was just thinking. How'd they get those great players with that?
I love that you said the mouthpiece part, because it was my freshman year in high school. We were playing in the Babe Ruth League, so it was a summer league. The state tournament out there at Buck Belcher. And we thought it was the coolest. They were like, turf, infield, grass, outfield. This is so cool. Like, we didn't see anything like it. But I remember, and I was playing left. I remember finding, and this was not a baseball. It wasn't a batting glove. Those old tacked Newman football gloves. And they're like, oh, this is probably from football. And I remember as we were spending more time there, I don't know if it was one of the people that was with the university that were telling her, yeah, football practice is here in the outfield. So, like, there's a chance you might run into some equipment and whatnot. But, yeah, I remember we found, like, I think maybe one glove, and then someone might have found a mouthpiece. I don't know. But we found evidence that led us to believe, oh, yeah, football's played here too. Well, this is interesting. Compared to what you see now, and people talking about even the last couple of years, like, oh, boy, Nebraska's sort of kind of behind the arms race when it comes to facilities. Let me take you back to 1993. Yeah. It wasn't great.
So Erstad's last year was my first year doing Nebraska baseball. And they played at the old ballpark in Oklahoma City before they built Bricktown. Mm-hmm. And it was a good team. It wasn't great. I mean, Elvis Shepard was a good one, but he was also a guy that, man, I've never seen somebody that's chewed as much as he had. And he'd leave his chew cups everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people would make the mistake and drink out of them. They were... It was quite an interesting team led by John Sanders. But we go down to the Big 8 tournament, and that was a good team. They got beat by Iowa State, but then they beat KU. Darren Erstad's last game as a Husker ended on a walk-off. John Baylor and I are doing the game against Oklahoma State, and there was just the pitching decisions. JB and myself were beside us because it was like, this is Erstad's last game.
Yeah,
Erstad's last game. There's another story. Interesting, you brought up Jim Henry, you know, going to take a visit at Creighton and didn't like anyone to be at Nebraska. So there is this story that circulated, because Erstad's first year was 93, is, you know, and you could see kind of from the start that there was something special about Erstad. Mm-hmm. Is people in Omaha, and I don't know if it originated from Creighton, but people were telling, because it got back to John Sanders, and it wasn't true, that Erstad was going to leave Nebraska and go JUCO so he could go into the draft earlier.
Yeah.
And John Sanders lost his mind. The late John Sanders, because he was like, what? What? And it wasn't true, but it was being spread out of Omaha to get Erstad to leave. And he was never going to leave. And so he played his 3 years and then, you know, finished his career, never got to the NCAA tournament, and off to the number one pick by the Angels.
From a professional standpoint, it all worked out, but
he's still the only Gold Glove winner in the outfield and first base, right?
Yep.
I don't think anybody's passed him on that.
Nope. And you know it as well as I do. One of the most competitive guys you're ever going to run across, I guarantee you. And we didn't get a chance to ask him. It gets at him so much that during his collegiate career, it was not spent in the NCAA tournament. And that's why so much praise, but I think there's a little envy there too of what came after with Shane Comine, what'll be on display tonight with that team, that era of Husker baseball, and then Alex Gordon, kind of that next wave that gets into the 2005 College World Series too. It just, they were, and Darren and a lot of the guys that he played with, those guys, I mean, they really did set that foundation though. And I know that probably for him, is
95 was a circus with Nebraska. My first year doing the games, I was like, what in the hell is going on?
Really?
Oh, it was the John Sanders experience. Big Red was always good to me, but man, it was a high wire act. I'm telling you. I still tell this story. John Sanders calling me up at 11 a.m. in the morning at KLIN when I was working there. And he goes, hey, it's Coach. And I mean, he had anybody that knew John, he had a recognizable voice. He goes, we're playing Peru State at 2. I want the game on the radio. I said, this wasn't on the schedule. And he goes, no, we just got it done about 9:30. He goes, we need the game on the radio at 2. I'll see you there. Thanks, coach.
And you're just like, oh, okay, we can make that.
I was like, what?
Thanks for the heads up.
So, did it make the radio?
No.
Okay.
No. Back then, we didn't do every game.
Yeah.
You know, that changed once Van Horn got things rolling, and now every game is on the radio.
You have to readjust those logs.
Hold on. I'll make a call.
By the way, there's also, so 95, Erstad, who's, you know, balancing, you know, playing football, it, you know, won a national championship as a punter. There's a bases are loaded, three balls, two strikes. They're playing, I want to say, Oklahoma. Erstad's at the plate. The pitcher is into the wind. All of a sudden, the umpire jumps out from behind home plate and goes, time! The gate directly behind home plate at Buck Belcher had swung open, and this little tiny man was shuffling out, Bob Devaney. And John Sanders has to come over, and, you know, John and Bob Father were as tight as can be, and he leads him into the dugout, because this would happen a lot.
Yeah.
And Devaney would sit in the Nebraska dugout and just dog cuss the home plate umpire. But yeah, I remember, like, the pitcher is into the wine. Big moment in the game. It's a one run game. And all of a sudden, the umpire, time! And the gate was open, and here comes Devaney. All right. Matt Verzal coming up next. Again, that's going to be a really cool night tonight. Nick will be on the PA.
Yeah. As long as the voice holds out, yeah.
Good thing it wasn't 2 days ago.
Or yesterday, no would pressure. Have been bad too, yeah.
But, batting third, Max.
That would have Anderson. Sounded like those.
All three teams are home. Creighton's home from Minnesota. Omaha hasn't played in a while. They play North Dakota State this weekend, and then Nebraska plays Illinois. So the weather is okay.
Not bad. It's not bad.
Okay for the end of March. Mm-hmm. All right, we got Verz next, and we got our final thoughts on the Sweet 16 tonight between Creighton and Princeton in the last half hour of Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.